You are listening to audio from Riverside Church. If you would like to check out more resources, please visit riverside.church.
Good morning. I'm Sarah Ink, and I'm excited to continue our series with you this morning. Let's pray before we get started. God, we thank you for the summer and the ways that you reveal your wonder to us in just everyday life and in the small joys that we see as we are in this rhythm of summer. And we just pray that we would feel your presence here this morning and that you would just fill us with your wisdom and your wonder as we go through Psalm 91 this morning. Amen. So the first time I remember considering the I wonder idea or the I wonder question was in a children's ministry class when I was in college. So every Thursday night, because we had an adjunct professor, at 7 p.m. I would walk across campus at Taylor University to an older academic building with seven of us students, and we would just get to play and learn about Jesus. It was pretty cool. And I did take this class because I thought it would be easy, because you get to play with toys and think like a kid. So I thought, oh, this is an easy way to get elective credit. But during one class session, my professor brought in a bunch of figurines and felt grass and buildings and little trees, all of these little toys that we could play around with. And she invited us to make a nativity scene and kind of play with the toys to create what we thought the nativity scene looked like. And then as we were playing, she started asking us questions like, I wonder what Joseph was thinking, or I wonder what the innkeeper was feeling when he was showing Mary and Joseph the stable, or I wonder what it was like making that journey to Bethlehem. And I just remember being so intrigued by these questions and the way they were worded, like, oh, we get to wonder and think through this. And the idea of wondering about something felt like I could use my imagination and just explore these concepts that I've heard about my whole life. In much of my life, I asked so many questions about scripture and theology in my walk with the Lord, but not always in a way that allowed my imagination to consider things from a different perspective. And maybe you've been in circles like in counseling or have participated in spiritual direction, or maybe you just have a friend who's really good at asking you questions, and they've invited you into this wonder world. You've been asked, I wonder. And it's opened up a new way of reflection and curiosity. And so, if you're like me, when I hear wonder, do you think big? Like, I think mountains and miracles and sunsets and just vastness, big. And a couple weeks ago, Pastor Jess talked about trust that breeds wonder and some of the descriptions she used with her idea of wonder. And I wanted to expand on this corner of wonder as it relates to the wonder of God we experience in reflection and presence and curiosity in the midst of the reality of life. And also, like Pastor Jess with Psalm 16, Psalm 91 isn't really a psalm that you think about when you want to explore wonder in the Psalms. It's often called a psalm of trust and assurance, and even wisdom, which also is on point with our theme here, our series. But all of these things are still wonder-filled. But I find that I'm just as in awe of God when I marvel at the ways I've seen his hand at work in the mundane, in the difficult, in the unsettled moments of my life, these times when I most need to lean on trust in God, as I do when I witness my kids learn something new or watch the sunset over Lake Michigan. You can all picture it, hopefully. or just listening to a song that speaks to my soul. So, in Psalm 91 today, I want to focus on this corner of wonder of God's faithfulness as we reflect on the past, notice his presence as we're mindful of his in the present, and cultivate curiosity about the future. So, before we dive in, let's look at the structure of Psalm 91. So you can see that it's broken down into three sections or voices. One commentary said it's kind of like three different voices, which I thought was a really good description. So the first verse, right away, we're just introducing the psalm. We're setting the stage so you kind of know what you're going to be reading. Verses 2 through 13 is the writer's testimony. So this is an encouragement to trust. And this is, they're showing all of the different ways to trust. And then the last three verses is God's voice. So this is where we're getting confirmation from God in that trust. So for all of my scholars, which is everyone, but if you're in the language arts world or the academic world, you know what a thesis statement is, right? Yes, fun. So verse 1, the writer shares this thesis statement for the psalm. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And we'll break this down later in the psalm. We'll kind of look at what this thesis statement holds. But here the writer is drawing reassurance from the experience of the previous two psalms. So we're looking at Psalm 89 and Psalm 90. Scholars conclude that Psalm 91 is a response to the fall of the Davidic kingdom and the exile expressed in Psalm 89. Psalm 89 acknowledges the faithfulness of God and his commitment to a covenant with his people, even when the structure of their lives is falling apart. In verse 2 of Psalm 89, it says, I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you have established your faithfulness in heaven itself. In this reminder of God's faithfulness, we also see a response of wonder in verses 6 through 8 of 89. For who in the skies above can compare to the Lord? Who is like the Lord among the heavenly beings? In the council of the holy ones, God is greatly feared. He is more awesome than all who surround him. Who is like you, Lord God Almighty? You, Lord, are mighty, and your faithfulness surrounds you. So then, as we move into Psalm 90 through 92, where our Psalm 91 is nestled right in the middle, we move into the aftermath of this community's exile. It's a time of drawing from the covenant with God in order to find a settledness and comfort. And we see this language of refuge or shelter, where they can rest in the protection of God. In times of confusion and transition, how often do we stop to reflect on the faithfulness of God in our past? Some of us are more present or future-oriented people. I don't know if you've thought of that before, but so it might be a little bit tricky for you to think about the past and really reflect on that. It may take some extra work. But this is a practice that can be a very grounding technique. Just as the Israelites were able to point to key moments of God's protection and faithfulness and presence for comfort in their distress, we can also begin to name those key moments in our lives. And if you think about it, we kind of do this every time we share our story or our testimony, right? We reflect on where we saw God in our past. The Riverside staff, the past couple of months, each meeting we've had time where we've each shared our story, and it's been really cool to see how God, it's been a good time for us to reflect on our story and where we've seen God, but also to be listeners of each other's stories and really see where God has shown up in each other's lives. Reflection can be a profound way to experience wonder because it allows us to marvel at God's presence during a season that we may not have noticed him at the time. And so I'm going to throughout the sermon today, I'm going to ask you some wonder statements to help with reflection. I kind of always give you guys an assignment when I preach, so sorry, but this is good practice, right? So with your past, I wonder what picture comes to mind when you think of a time in the past when you notice God's faithfulness. What picture comes to mind? What was that wonder moment or the mystery of God inviting you in when you look back? And what did his presence feel like in that moment? It's okay if you didn't memorize all of that. We'll have some time. I'll show the questions again at the end, so don't feel like you have to memorize all of my words right now. But those are some reflection questions for God's faithfulness in your past. So what does wonder look like in the present? So coming to now, you're sitting in this room. And it seems like the present would be a very natural way to practice wonder. You notice the daylilies as you're driving around town. I feel like my boys and I are just always, kind of like when you play the cow game, like there's a cow or there's a horse. We notice daylilies around town right now. and it seems pretty wonderful to notice those. Or maybe you notice the gorgeous cotton candy Indiana sky. Do you all know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Or you just experience a God moment where everything just worked out way better than you could have ever imagined. But what does practicing wonder mean in the doldrums, in disenchantment, in insecurities, or just the regular movings about your life? It's harder to have thoughts of wonder when you have piles of laundry to fold, or a work deadline, or a sick loved one, or questions of what's next. But I would say this is the most literal IRL, in real life, experience of wonder in our relationship with God. Brother Lawrence, in The Practice of the Presence of God, reminds us of this. He does not ask much of us, merely a thought of him from time to time, a little act of adoration, sometimes to ask for his grace, sometimes to offer him your sufferings, at other times to thank him for the graces, past and present, he has bestowed on you. In the midst of your troubles, to take solace in him as often as you can. Lift up your heart to him during your meals and in company. The least little remembrance will always be the most pleasing to him. One need not cry out very loudly. He is nearer to us than we think. So practically, Brother Lawrence is encouraging us to practice mindfulness with God. Our lives are so filled with noise, both internally and externally, that actually practicing the presence of God is bringing us out of our heads, quieting our inner worlds, and acknowledging being with God. We allow space to be still with God and even take a few deep breaths. When was the last time you took a few deep breaths? It's hard. It is in these moments of stillness that we have space to ask questions of wonder and listen to God. The writer of Psalm 91 shows the wonder that occurs in practicing the presence of God in verses 3 through 13. And I'll read those again. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, "The Lord is my refuge," and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. So the writer here draws on what they know of God in their past and practicing mindfulness in their present. And wonder shows up in these various scenarios because the author has trust in God and his questions and fears. And I certainly understand that it is hard to step outside of fear and doubt and even cynicism when we enter into wonder. But there is freedom in wonder to set aside the skepticism that sometimes comes with practicing faith and instead embrace the marveling openness. The freedom to wonder is because of the trust that is established in our relationship with God. And we just saw in these verses various phrases of trust. Verse 3, surely he will save you. In verse 4, he will cover you. You will not fear. The Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling. And in verse 10, no harm will overtake you. And these all display marveling at God's protection in the midst of terrifying situations. Hopefully, we won't have to tread on a lion or a cobra, but we still have our own terrifying situations. And because the author and his community have trust in God, they have reassurance that they will overcome. I do have to mention, even in the most joyous and awe-inspiring moments of our daily lives, wonder can be intimidating and scary, though, right? It's kind of scary to wonder. It requires humility. And who likes to be vulnerable? Anyone? In this humility, we feel incompetent and give up control, which is pretty terrifying. But also in humility, wonder is a space that is beyond our comprehension, which causes us to question and search and learn and stand in awe of what God is doing. One theologian, when I was studying for this, used the term marveling learner. And I thought that was a really great posture to take in our present lives as we practice the presence of God. So I wonder, what scenario in your life right now is God inviting you to trust him and be a marveling learner? As we look at the last three verses, the psalm ends with an oracle of salvation. Doesn't that sound amazing? An oracle of salvation? Where the writer uses God's voice to provide reassurance of God's rescue for his people. In verses 14 through 16, we see promises from God, and I think, yes, they're in bold, if you can see that. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Because we love him, God is with us. We can rest in the wonder, the curiosity of the future, because God is with us. Heather Ohanesson writes, "The works of God cause us to kneel in awe even as we run towards the glorious source of our confusion." How's that for an interesting dynamic? We kneel in awe, even in our confusion. And we have freedom to become curious about our future because we are reassured of his faithfulness. Hope, which is our desires with expectation, is rooted in trust. This all sounds wonderful, huh? Right? To the logical mind, for all of you logical thinkers out there. It's like the cause and effect. If I trust in God, I have freedom to be curious about the future without fear, of course, right? No fear, because we're good. Because I find hope in God. But as humans, even in a rich relationship with God, there's still a natural fear of the unknown or unmet expectation. So wonder what ideally could be a very exciting time of marveling at where God may call us quickly becomes scary. Theologian Glenn Scorgi says, at the popular level, to wonder is to doubt or feel unsure. But properly understood, it is a response of amazement triggered by something unexpected and mysterious. Wonder per se contains elements of both surprise and puzzlement. The experience of wonder is always ambivalent, for the wanderer has two contradictory reactions, a longing for novelty and a fear of the unknown. Anyone resonate with that? A longing for novelty and a fear of the unknown. So wonder is leaning into this mystery and puzzlement over here while also embracing the surprise and amazement that can show up when we pay attention. When we think about the future, when we're looking ahead, we're setting up a goal or attempting to fix something or find an answer to our questions, right? That's usually what the aim is when we're thinking about our future. It's to get us somewhere. And God, we hope for X, Y, and Z. And even in verse 15 of the psalm, we are promised that God will answer. And I assume you've heard some sort of phrase aligning with, God may not always answer your prayer the way you think he will, which is true, but I think the key part of this verse is that we are promised his response, whatever form that takes. He will call on me and I will answer him. God is present. When we call on him, he will respond. Wonder invites us to consider these things, but even more to simply rest in the presence of God as we move through questions and curiosity. Our faith journey is a mystery because it is composed of God in all of his greatness, doing things in our life that we cannot comprehend. It's not always rational, it's wonder. So, I wonder what wondering about your future looks like when you put hope in a God who has promised to rescue, protect, answer, be with, satisfy, and show his salvation to you. And I wonder what you are carrying with you that you can release in order to be more mindful of God's presence moving forward. As we wonder about the past, present, and future, we are invited to be marveling learners and be in awe of God. We step into the humility required to move into wonder, and we are rooted in God's faithfulness and trust that is required in wandering through wonder. Wonder is open and vulnerable, and so it is all the more important that we rest in the faithfulness and trust of God. In our wonder, we reflect on the past, practice mindfulness in the present, and cultivate a curiosity about the future. And I want to end today by sharing a poem by Malcolm Gait as kind of a prayer. And he has written poems for in response to each one of the psalms in this book up here. And so I wanted to just share his poetic response to Psalm 91 as we close. He shares our grief and wipes away our tears. And even in this life, he shelters us beneath the shadow of his wings. Our fears and hopes are known to him. His faithfulness will be our shield and buckler. We can trust his constancy and know he will be with us. With us through the best and through the worst. I may be threatened by the passing harm of outward pestilence, but still I trust. He gives his angels charge, and with his arm he shelters and embraces me. No power can separate me from his love. His name is my protection and delight. I pour my heart and soul to him in songs and psalms, and he will bring me through my darkest hour. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Riverside Church. For more resources, visit riverside.church.